cup crept down from the crow's nest and over to the steering deck where Norbert was staring at it too, through his looking-glass thingy. "Norbert," said Hiccup nervously, "I just have a feeling that the sea dragon doesn't like us for some reason. Don't you think we should go home?" For a moment, Hiccup didn't think Norbert had heard him, for Norbert carried on looking at the horizon, muttering to himself slowly,
"That is the largest sea monster I have ever seen."
And then Norbert took his looking-glass thingy from his eye and looked straight down at Hiccup.
"No dragon, however big, is going to take away my dream," ground out Norbert the Nutjob from between clenched teeth, shaking his fist in Hiccup's face. "I'll jump down that thing's throat and personally remove its wishbone with my axe if I have to. You understand me, boy?"
Hiccup nodded.
"Death or America!" roared Norbert the Nutjob. "Now read me the ticking thing and stop talking treachery."
Hiccup climbed despondently back to the crow's nest and relayed the bad news to his friends.
"This just gets worse and worse. It's like some sort of nightmare," moaned Fishlegs. "We could have escaped on our own, but oh no, you have to choose to try and escape with 119 wanderers. Very subtle, and they aren't even Vikings."
"I made them a promise," replied Hiccup, automatically.
"And look how they repaid you," Fishlegs pointed out. "So you've saved 119 not very nice complete strangers, but you've doomed your two best friends in the process. Nice choice, Hiccup. Any escape plans, Kamikaze?"
Even Kamikaze, who had escaped from practically every tribe in the archipelago, seemed to have run out of hope that she could escape from this situation. "I think the safest place to be right now is on this ship," she said. "Because out there is that sea dragon. Do you think it's the same one that chased you in the land of the polar serpents?"
"Definitely," said Hiccup. "I recognise the spines on its back. Those kind of spikes are mostly seen on dragons that are now extinct."
"What kind of dragon is it anyway?"
asked Fishlegs. "I don't know," said Hiccup slowly. "It was difficult to tell because it was so dark, but it wasn't a species I recognised. It reminds me of some of the ones that I've heard about in the ancient sagas, a Leviathorgon or a Gorgonghast."
"Aren't those just mythical creatures?" asked Kamikaze. "You know, made up like unicorns and mermaids and things."
"Maybe they're not made up," said Hiccup. "Maybe they just haven't been seen for a long time. Just because we don't know how that machine works doesn't mean that it doesn't work. Just because we've never seen America doesn't mean it isn't there. We're in waters that we're not used to now. The waters of the Great West Ocean. There could be all sorts of terrible things down there in the fathoms below us. Who knows?" It was not a cheerful thought. To keep their spirits up, they thought about what everybody would be doing back at home. The hooligan tribe would be back on Berk now, playing bashy ball in the mud, preparing for the spring shearing, painting the boats for the summer sailings.
"I wonder who won the inter-tribe friendly swimming race,"
mused Fishlegs.
"My mother is the archipelago long-distance swimming champion, Bertha the Unsinkable," said Kamikaze. "She'd have stayed out there for days."
"And why wouldn't my father have won?" argued Hiccup, loyally. "He's just as good at swimming as Bertha."
"No way!" insisted Kamikaze.
And so they argued back and forth. Not that it mattered, of course, but it passed the time. And it helped to be thinking of what might be happening at home. They did not realise, of course, that in fact neither of their parents had actually left the beach, let alone won the competition, on that fateful morning, several weeks ago.